Welcome to episode 322 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and George. I think we can all agree that getting a good night's sleep is essential to traveling, but unfortunately, that's rarely the case. Sleeping in a strange bed or no bed at all can leave you grumpy and with a short fuse. This week, we want to share some of our favorite things to help get that magical night's rest and start your day with a smile. So let's get started. I used to always be able to sleep no matter where I was.
Wasn't it good to be young?
Yeah.
Who can remember?
I know. It was a long time ago.
I think one of the things, though, since I got a Fitbit, when I first got my Fitbit, I really paid attention to how much it said I was sleeping. And I was surprised at how much it said I woke up in the middle of the night because I didn't really realize I was waking up at night.
You didn't realize you're waking up. I wake up to turn from side to side.
I think when you are having one of those nights where you think you can't sleep, if you just lay there and shut your eyes, you do sleep more than you realize, even if you are waking up a lot. So I don't know. It's just, you know, I guess I'm kind of used to it. It doesn't really bother me.
I think one of the problems when you're traveling is that the things that you normally do, your routine that you have at home is completely turned upside down, you know, whereas when Elizabeth's home, she's in bed by 7.
We're loose in jammies.
I'll make it funny because I'm almost there too. I'm up late now. I'm like, oh, it's 8 o'clock. Oh, it's late.
It's almost late. 10 and we're still recording this and I'm still awake. So
it's one night a week.
Yeah.
You have your routine, right? You have your time that you tell your brain, I'm going to go to sleep now. I'm going to prepare. These are my rituals, whether you call them that or even know that they are your rituals. Putting in for me, it's putting on my nighttime pajamas.
Take your teeth out.
That wasn't directed at Lindsay, just to be
clear. That was deep. No, I paid a lot of money for these teeth. They don't
come out. I do think that that's important, though. And we should give a little shout out to Donna because she couldn't be here with us. But this was a topic that she actually suggested and she wrote the show notes for. And she is sort of my spirit animal when it comes to sleep. I think sleep is so important in all the things that you do. Well, if you are doing things at home to make sure you sleep well, you should do those when you travel. And if you're not doing things at home to make sure you sleep well, you should start doing things to help you sleep well, because sleep is like that is the thing that helps you be a productive person the next day. I mean, it's everything. And that routine, you may not even realize you have a routine at home. So the first thing is to figure out what that is. And if that means, you know, it's funny, I'm going to use sort of a childish example, but, one of my kids has these stuffed zebras that he has had since he was little. And only recently have we stopped traveling with them. And it was always very important to him to have them with him. And it was something that was from home that helped him sleep. And that is, there's nothing wrong with that. And people make fun of things like that all the time. I'm not saying that you should, you know, travel with your teddy bear, but if that's something that you need, then you should. Don't be embarrassed about that, because if it's going to help you get a better night's sleep. So if there's a certain skincare routine that you follow at home that, like, you know, when you finish that skincare routine, your face smells a certain way and you're used to sleeping with it, it wouldn't hurt to at least bring the last step of that, you know, whatever makes you smell that way, bring that with you, because that can, just doing that can really help a lot.
Triggers that. Yeah.
Or your pillowcase, if you have a special pillowcase that you use to put your face on.
Or even your pillow.
Yeah, or even your pillow if you can. I'm going to start traveling with Lily Bell now because she's necessary for a good night's sleep.
That's funny that she doesn't do things
traveling with your pets. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, pillows are actually a big deal, and that's something that, you know, don't just settle, if you're picky about your pillows, don't just settle for what's in the room. See if there's, especially at nicer properties, and this is another reason to upgrade your hotel too, because the beds will be better and the pillow choices will be better. And there is such a thing as pillow menus. If you've not experienced one, I hope you experience one soon, because that it's very important. So.
Yeah, and the essential oils and some places go a step further and you can have a specific scent in your room that's more conducive to sleeping, like lavender or something calming and soothing. I know something that I do at home that I have not found a way to do while I'm traveling. I'd like to try and incorporate in my travel is tea. Having a chamomile tea or something like that before bed to kind of soothe yourself, and even if you don't finish it, you just have a couple sips. That's something I need to be more conscious of trying to recreate when I am traveling, because I think it would help greatly.
A lot of rooms have a Keurig or some sort of coffee maker that could also make tea. So yeah, that's something that you tend to overlook. And I kind of get it because when you're traveling, you're doing different things. Like you're out of your daily routine anyway. Isn't that part of the point? So then, you end up falling into bed because you've been hiking all day, or you end up falling into bed because you had a few too many glasses of wine at dinner, or, like things that you don't normally do at home. So it is kind of hard to maintain that routine just because you're the whole point of traveling is to not have routines. So.
Or you're
Yeah, a lot of
exhausted because
times.
you did everything.
A lot of times when I travel, I'm exhausted and done by the time I hit the bed. I don't even have time to read, And I read most nights before I go to sleep. That's kind of one of the things I do. But yeah, when I'm traveling, I hardly ever get through a book.
George, are
So.
you like a person that has to have a specific temperature when you sleep? Are you like a cold or a hot or like a
No, I don't like it real cold and I don't like it real hot.
Likes
So
his
he's the baby
porridge
bear, is
medium.
that?
Yeah, it was just right. No, temperature's not a big thing for me, and I generally don't have a problem falling asleep. I am probably one of the few people that absolutely love their CPAP and couldn't live without one. I know people that absolutely hate theirs and can't wait to rip it off, but no, once I found that, I sleep so much better, and I don't have a problem falling asleep. I have a problem not getting up early. So 6 o'clock, I'm up staring at the ceiling at 6 a.m. But outside of
That's
that,
probably
no.
because you slept so well. And I think that CPAP
Probably.
is that's that is a little bit of routine too. Like you're taking some comfort by putting it on, and of course it's helping you breathe better. So yeah, that's yeah, definitely.
And
I'm
I'll
a
tell you something funny about them too, that when you take them on vacation, they pick up the smell of the room that you're in.
hmm.
So for the next couple of nights after I get home, I get the
Huh.
Disney Resort smell.
Oh,
Yeah,
fun.
nice. That's
it's
funny.
kind of
That is
weird, but
nice.
yeah,
Yep.
yep.
I'm a little jealous now, actually.
Yeah.
I don't
So that's kind of your sound machine then too, because I guess doesn't have like a subtle sound to it.
The new ones make almost no sound, unless you happen to have the mask up against your pillow, because it does blow a little bit of air out, so you'll get that blowing sound. But no, the new ones are whisper quiet, so you can hardly even tell it's going.
My son just got one and he has yet to put it on and wear it at night. And actually, that reminds me, I need to follow up on that. But when you go back to the sound, Lindsay, that's one thing Ellie, my daughter, does is she has to have like a sound. I guess she has an app on her phone that make a white noise and then it'll turn itself off after a little while. But she does that every time to go to
The
sleep.
Calm app, if you meditate as well, the Calm app is a meditation guide, and that has it also has like ambient noise, and it has like spa music, like that tinkling, random note kind of music. And sometimes I'll use that. So when I travel, what I do is I take a I used to not need any noise when I slept. I used to be, and some nights I can still sleep with zero noise, but I find it very soothing to go to sleep, and it helps me fall asleep a little bit faster. So I have a little Bluetooth speaker. It's actually a Bose SoundLink. It's waterproof and it's fairly light. And I bought the orange one. It also comes in like a bright blue and then a black. The orange one, just I won't lose it. I will see it on the nightstand in a hotel or whatever, so I'll always have it with me. It is waterproof, so I can take it to the pool. I can take it, wherever. And then I can put it by the bed, and not only can I use the Calm app to then, play ambient noise, but after about an hour or so, that when the Calm app stops, it also, if it's been still for, you know, I feel like it's 30 minutes or something like that. If no sound has been coming out of it, then it turns itself off as well. So the battery lasts a really long time on it. It, you know, the charge is very, very good on, and the sound is excellent. It's Bose. And it was, I mean, it was in the $100 range, but I use it all the time.
So it's so funny is because I bought myself one of those last year and my husband stole it and has been taking it to work to listen to, and it's orange. Ours is orange too. I've never gotten to take it on a trip, but now that you say that, I should probably start doing that because I'm one of those people, I need sound to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. I have to drown out. If it's too quiet, my brain feels like it needs to make
Yeah, noise. You leave the TV on when you fall asleep.
She says like my wife.
Well,
and that's the problem with the TV is it's got light too, and that light is not really good for you as you're trying to fall asleep. So although the sound is good, the light isn't. So and it's really annoying to your roommates apparently.
Well, I mean, it's something that I don't. We have a TV in our room, but it's not hooked to anything. We don't turn it on. You know, it's basically for when my parents come to town and they take over the TV in the living room. And then Chris will come up here and hook it up to like the Xbox or something. But I never fall asleep to the TV in my room. I do in the living room, but that's not something I do like in the bedroom. So it's when it's on all night, it wakes me up a lot. You know, like
the speaker is such a great. I mean, it's not just good for sleep. If I'm getting ready to go out, I have music. If I, you know. It's perfect to carry, and it's so light. So it's sort of a multi-purpose little tool, but it is and the Calm app actually also has like bedtime stories, which I highly recommend. If you subscribe to Calm, their bedtime stories are really great, and some of them like who's the movie star, Matthew McConaughey, is the really weird one. All right. Is that him?
Yeah.
He does one of the bedtime stories. Oh, it's so good. And I think the Jonas Brothers did one.
Wait, little kid bedtime stories?
There's different ones, and a lot of them are travel related. So it's like taking a train across the Highlands of Scotland, and so they sort of lull you to sleep with this like really cool description of. So I don't want to harp on that for too long, but there is, you know, those Bluetooth speakers can be a really great investment for sure. And if you make it light and multifaceted, you know, waterproof, because you're going to be traveling with it. If you want to take in the shower with you, you can. You can take it by the pool. You can swim with it in your hand if you want. I mean, it's I don't know why you'd want to do that, but you can. So, Lindsay, you touched on something. You could. Lindsay, you touched on something earlier, asking about temperature. So are you a cold temperature sleeper? Oh, I think she just froze up. Dang it. Sandy, are you cold?
I like to be cold when I sleep because I like to burrow under the covers. And then if I get hot, I can just stick my leg out or something.
Yeah.
You know? So I definitely prefer it to be colder for me, especially when I'm at a hotel.
And it's not I don't really turn the temperature down here at home, but yeah, in a hotel, I want it to be colder. And Donna's show notes are really funny too, because she actually says, turn down that heat so that, because not your power bill. So. Lindsay, are you a cold sleeper? Do you like it cold?
I like it moderate. I don't like it too hot, but I've learned how to sleep in the cold because one of my very frequent roommates needs to sleep in a freezer. And
who are you talking about?
My Disney wife. Jules,
because I was just saying when you froze up, I was saying I like it cold.
No, my friend Julie, who I will call out because she's probably one of the few people I know that listens to us, needs to have it Arctic cold because she gets really hot really easy. And usually, I am on the side where the blower is. So I always just bring something to wear, like a jacket, like a sweatshirt or whatever, if I know that I'm rooming with her, and then I'm fine. But I can't, if it's too hot, I can't sleep. I'd much rather have it too cold because you can always put more clothes on. There's only so much you can take off.
Yes. Especially when you're with
especially when you're a roommate.
And not someone that you're there with. And that's actually, bring your comfiest PJs. Don't dress for looks unless you're on your honeymoon or something. And, comfy PJs are everything. Oh, yeah. And I actually make sure I always have like a lounge set of pajamas, mainly because I, work when I go on trips all the time. And so I hate sitting in the room, especially in a hot resort, in the same clothes that I've been sweating in. So I'll bring something just to lounge around the hotel in. Because I also don't really like the robes in hotel rooms because I'm a plus size girl and the robes are usually not mm-hmm. plus size. They're one size fits everybody but me.
Yeah, I feel the same
one size
way.
Fits no one. Like,
yeah.
One size
the people, the models in their advertisements. Yeah. That's who they So
true.
So we talked about pillows a little bit, but one of Donna's tips, which is actually true, is get extra pillows because you can wrap your, you can hug them and it sort
yeah,
of
yeah she does she
so even if you're not a
she holds a pillow yeah. when she sleeps
yeah. because or if you end up
good for your back.
A roommate yeah. and you only have one bed, you can put them between you.
Yes.
I just roomed with Donna a few weeks ago and she said that she does it because it relieves her upper back pain, which now I'm starting yeah. to do because I have severe upper back pain. So
yeah, a body pillow is highly recommended. When you're pregnant, it's a huge piece of equipment that people purchase. And so yeah. it's, yeah, a body pillow is very, and you can just do it with extra pillows. We have fights when I travel with my husband because he likes to have two pillows if there's only three pillows on the bed, which happens way more often than mm-hmm. you would think. Yeah, so there's that, yeah. I say it's an argument. He basically steals it no matter what, so. Yeah, that's the way it works. Donna also mentioned eye masks. And let me tell you, I thought eye masks were the most ridiculous thing ever until I started flying cross country, not mm-hmm. cross country, but across the Atlantic several, you know, I usually go to Europe once a year. The last couple of years I've had two big trips like that. And it's a lifesaver on a plane because there's so much more light on a plane than you think there yep. is going to be. So much more.
So I absolutely love, like, Josh got me this thick, when I was recovering from surgery, he got me this thick eye mask because I was sleeping a lot in the living room and there's so much light. And it's like a pillow. It's so satiny and pillowy soft. And I really think, like, in the notes it said something about don't buy the dollar store. Don't get the cheap one. Get the nice eye mask. And then I use that a lot I think that's part of that ritual too, because once you have it on, it's like you instantly, I think my husband's just setting me up to sleep my life away because he got me that. And then he got me for Christmas. He got me like the best gift and he made me open it early because I was complaining about being cold. It's this giant oversized blanket hoodie called an Udi. And it goes down to like my knees, but the second I put it on, it's like sinking into a pillow. And I think I'm going to take it on my next trip to Alaska because it'll be nice and warm to sleep.
Yeah, I actually have a little, my sister gave me one from China that's a little panda bear and it has little balls on the ears, like little panda ears. And at first I thought it was ridiculous, but now it's like, it actually helps keep the noise out too. So it's like blocking the light and the noise. So I thought it was just sort of cute for looks, but no, it's actually practical, very smart. So yeah, the eye masks and earplugs also, on a plane can really, it can make all the difference.
Noise canceling headphones and sleeping on a plane, a good neck pillow. I've had at least a dozen neck pillows. And until I got the right one for me, the one that came up higher to give me higher neck support, I could not sleep on a plane, but now I have the right pillow and I can sleep anywhere on a plane.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And then she has a suggestion for lavender. And I think this is, if whatever your aroma is, George, what's your aroma? Do you like lavender?
Sure. Can't get enough of it. actually, my favorite's lemongrass.
Oh, yes. So, yes.
I love lemon candles. And citrusy smells. Mm,
yeah.
I'm allergic to lavender, but I do put lemongrass. I got a bottle of the lemongrass from the Red Lane Spa from Sandals Resorts, mm-hmm. and I put that in my eye mask.
Yeah. So things like that make me sneeze, actually, which is sort of a shame because they are very relaxing. So like I can use, when I go get my nails done, they have these like lavender scented heated neck things, and I can mm-hmm. do that. But putting something right up at my face, like on my eye mask, I can't do that. And some people will spray down their pillow as well. But if that's something that you can do, I mean, lavender is supposed to be very, very soothing. And so that's, and those, you can find little bottles that are less than 3 ounces. So you can put it in your carry-on that you can spray. and that might give you a sense of familiarity as well. So if that's something that is comforting to you, which it sounds like we're talking to children right now, but let's face it, we are all, we all need a little bit of comforting now and then. So if that's something that you find comforting at home, then taking that with you can sort of make you feel a little bit more at home. Because the other thing that happens, and part of the reason why ambient noise can be so good, is if you're in a hotel, there's all these noises that you're not used to hearing. You know, people might walk down the hall, or doors will be closing, or actually I stayed at a 3-star hotel in London, and the fire door was right next to our room, so it was constantly banging, you know, as people walked through it, because it was really heavy. Yeah, having something to cancel out that noise is super helpful.
I stayed in a really nice hotel in Italy, and the hotel, the elevator was so, so old because the building was so, so old, and you could hear the Not that it happened all the time.
Or so if you're with someone who snores, you want earplugs for that too.
Well, that's true.
So I think we've gone through most of my favorite tips. Donna had one more, which is sleeping aids. I am sort of anti-sleeping aids, but I think it does work for some people. She actually did. She listed Ambien, but go to a doctor. I don't know that I'd do Ambien on a trip. I think that's a little
I've read dangerous. Too much about Ambien. I would be afraid to try that on a trip.
Yeah.
So it makes me think of that that episode of Modern Family where the two men who were married, they were getting ready to take a flight, and they took their Ambien, and then there was like a problem with the plane, and everybody had to get off and go get on a different plane, and they were like, you know, the thing is with Ambien, they're like, no, if you're gonna take it, go to sleep, and then you know, you're fine, but don't be on your computer when you take it. Or so they were like all over the airport doing crazy things. It was really funny. But we also have a friend, Elizabeth Manu, who started a blog one night when she was on Ambien. Posted it to Facebook. Check out my new blog. And it had all these typos in it. She's a librarian, you know. Just like, well, what is this?
Yeah,
Brandy, I'll have to make sure she listens.
That was pretty hilarious. So I'd be a little bit worried that I'd like take a wrong turn and walk out my window or something like that, just you know, because a sleepwalking is. But melatonin can be helpful, and even Benadryl, which is, you know, fairly harmless as long as you don't take too much of it, can be something. And I actually know, I since I fly so much, I don't take any sort of sleep aids. I don't like it because I'm worried that I won't be able to wake up and find my way to a taxi when I get to a foreign country. But I can't tell you how many times I've gotten on a plane and the person next to me pops a pill and is asleep within 2 minutes and sleeps the whole way. I mean, it's very, very normal. So,
well, on an 8-hour flight too. I mean,
yeah,
you know. And that's what we should probably touch on that too. Like when you're traveling to a different time zone, you know, I mean, we've talked about this on previous episodes, but you know, you want to do whatever you can to try to get on that time zone, you know, as soon as
you can. Yeah. So the tips that I have that work really well for me is you eat everything that they present to you, which I don't know right now, they might not be presenting very much, but usually on an overnight flight, they'll give you a dinner. You eat that. It's okay if you want to have a glass of wine, okay, but try to drink water. And then as soon as the dinner is done, eat, you know, if they bring you, if there's the dessert or whatever, if you're lucky enough to be in first class, but as soon as all that's done, go to sleep. Don't watch movies. Don't, you know, don't go to sleep, because that's probably the 4 hours or so of sleep that you're going to get. And then they'll serve breakfast. And you know, you'll probably have time to watch a movie after breakfast. You probably won't want to go back to sleep. And I have found that even if that's just 4 hours of sleep, I feel so much better because I had dinner, I went to sleep, and I had breakfast. You know, it's sort of like I had it. It's almost like at home, if I have a bad night's sleep, I can still function the next day because, you know, I did those things in that order. So back to routine and how important it is. Do you guys have any tips for those overnight flights?
Well, the only thing, whenever we flew to London, which I can't even believe that was a year ago now, like such a weird year, but the teacher who was like the group leader was so adamant that these kids not take a nap or fall asleep. Like, she had us basically jam-packed till about 10 o'clock that night, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock that night.
Oh, during the day when you got there.
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, we got there early in the morning, you know, and we went to the hotel and dropped our stuff off, and we went and did stuff. And came back and ate dinner, went back out again. I mean, she had us very, because she wanted them to be so exhausted that they would fall asleep
and not
and then wake up the next morning with like 7 or 8 hours of sleep, and then they'd be on that time set. And it really did work. I mean, I think when you're younger, it works better, but I was definitely tired that first day, but I do think she was right.
I agree with that. I agree with staying up that first day, don't sleep during the day, because that's your first instinct, because you're so tired you just want to go to bed. But if you're trying to get on that time zone, it's really important. And I would be such a hypocrite if I said no, go take a nap, because there's no way in heck I'm taking a nap when I get somewhere. I'm going to go see everything the second I get there, and then be dead exhausted in the evening.
I've done things both ways, and actually I've done things both ways with at least one of my kids. And when we flew to London as a family, we didn't have anywhere to take a nap. Our room wasn't ready. And so we sort of had to hit the ground running, and we did the London Eye probably around 3 o'clock, but everybody was really exhausted and very grumpy. And we ended up going to bed kind of early. When we went to France, which was actually before London, so I'm going back in time, we actually did get into our hotel room and we took about an hour and a half nap. And the kids were not happy when we woke them up. And so that was like, it was like 11:30 to 1 or so that we napped. Then we did a walking tour of Paris. It was like a 4-hour walking tour, and we had dinner. And so once they got moving, they were fine. Once we had a little bit of lunch in them and we got moving, they were absolutely fine. And that went really, really well. When Marcus and I went to Paris a couple years later, just the two of us, we did not want to take a nap. We got there. We felt okay. We had followed my advice of, eat dinner, sleep, have breakfast. And we had a tour in the morning and then a tour in the afternoon. And the tour in the afternoon was like a French Revolution tour. And by the time we got there, we were just like dozing off on a park bench. Yeah. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We enjoyed the tour, but we were just really, really tired. And I don't think we enjoyed it nearly as much as we would have had we not been so exhausted. But yeah. we grabbed like a very late dinner at like a Monoprix, and we went to bed, and we got up the next morning and we were fine. Yeah. So I think it really just depends on your clock. And I would say don't sleep away the first day, because then you'll never be on the right time.
I think it depends
but
on
a
how
little
much,
power nap.
How much okay. sleep you get on the plane too. Because if you've gotten any sleep on the plane, it makes it a little more bearable. And now on long overnights, I can sleep, whereas in the past I wasn't able to fall asleep. Like when I went to Italy, I couldn't sleep. I mean, I was up all night, and then I was up all day the next day, and then crashed. And then I think had a hard time getting up the next morning on that trip. But if I remember correctly, it was so long ago. But that's part of the thing, is finding that rhythm. And if you can get, I think my sweet spot for flights is like 8 hours. If it's 8 hours, I'm good. I can sleep. If it's like when we went to Bali, it was like 17 hours of travel time. And I was all over the place with my sleep. And then we got there and I was like, I can't go to sleep because we have this tour that we're doing, and I can't, but all I wanted to do was just find some place to lay down and go sleep.
Yeah. What? And I think looking at the timing of the flight is super important, because when I flew to Johannesburg last year, which I also can't believe was a year ago, that was Atlanta to Johannesburg, but you landed Johannesburg at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So you literally just have dinner and then you go to bed. That was the easiest transition I've ever had. Like it just seemed perfect. And I did sleep a little bit on the plane, but I didn't sleep a lot. I certainly didn't sleep all 17 hours for sure. Yeah. So
such a long flight.
Yeah.
Tip I have for people, if it's an option, and I know this isn't always going to be an option for everybody, it's not something everyone wants to do, I like sleeping on trains. I liked taking the ScotRail, the sleeper rail. I even like doing it from Munich to Budapest. They go slower. It's at night. You can sleep. If you get your own private car, you lock the door. You don't have to worry about anything. I sleep like a baby on a train.
You would like those sleep stories from Calm. You would like them. They got a little train rumbling in the background, and they talk about the countryside going
by. It's the movement. It's that soft, it's nice. Like the little movement of the train and the rails.
Absolutely. That's I sleep really well on a cruise ship. I sleep really well on a cruise ship.
Yeah, so, I sleep too well on a cruise ship.
Yes, I mean.
I think though, Lindsay, the train thing, you having your own little bed is key because I've done train trips where we're supposed to sleep overnight. It was a school trip that I was chaperoning, and it's much harder to sleep in the seat. No matter how much it reclines,
I couldn't do it in a seat, and I couldn't do any place where I had to worry about my belongings, or worry about strength. Like I have to buy the little cabin out, do first class if you can. If there's no way to do first class, buy the cabin out and just have your own little area.
Yep. Good well, those tip. Are some good tips. Hopefully, we'll be able to take long flights again very, very soon. That'd be nice.
Yeah, really. All right.
Well,
sorry,
go ahead.
It's me,
sorry.
Right?
Yes, it is. Sorry.
Sorry, George. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of George, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.